The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open the word of truth this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We continue our second installment of Project X. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Beginning at verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. Following our customary procedure, the next few moments are devoted to silent prayer, giving you the opportunity of preparing yourself in the usual manner for the study of the Word of God. Let us pray. It is our privilege, Heavenly Father, to fellowship in the Word, to have the opportunity of growing in grace. We pray now that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, is another one of those passages that explains the Holocaust, why 5 million Jews were killed by the Nazi regime of the Third Reich. This, of course, has always been a problem to people because they say, why? And, of course, one of the answers is the fact that the Jews over the last 2,000 years have generally been negative. And wherever there is negative volition, of course, there is an inevitable judgment. We just simply notice it more because Israel is involved. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14, we have one of those passages explaining the negative volition of Israel in terms of wearing a veil over the face. If you have a veil over the face, you can't read, is the point. You can't understand. And it starts out by saying in 2 Corinthians 3, 14, but their minds were hardened. That is negative volition. They were negative at the point of hearing the gospel. For until this very day, at the reading of the Old Testament scriptures, the same veil, negative volition, remains unlifted because it can only be removed by faith in Christ. And of course, they refuse to see that Jesus Christ is the Shekinah glory. Verse 15, but to this day when Moses is read, the veil lies over their right lobe. In other words, under the principle of Operation Z, they hear the gospel. When the gospel is presented, gospel hearing, normal or crisis evangelism. And when they hear it, of course, like all unbelievers, they have no human spirit. The enablement of God the Holy Spirit, who acts as their teacher, the Holy Spirit acting as a human spirit, makes the gospel real under the doctrine of common grace, the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, without which no one could ever be saved. The Holy Spirit takes what gospel truth exists in an evangelistic message and makes it spiritual phenomena, acting as the human spirit, so that it moves then to the left lobe, called in the Greek New Testament the nous, and there it becomes gnosis gospel. Then that is the point at which they go negative. It says their right lobes are veiled. The right lobe is the cardia, translated often heart, but of course it refers to the right lobe of the soul. At the point of gnosis gospel, it can be accepted or rejected. But of course, once there is any type of positive volition, then God the Holy Spirit enables that person with positive volition to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it becomes immediately epinosis gospel. And the veil over the right lobe means that they are negative toward the gospel at the point of common grace. Therefore, they do not exhale faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 15, but to this day when Moses, that's a reference to the Old Testament, Moses wrote the first five books called the Torah, and the Old Testament is called by the Jews by the name Torah. When Moses is read, a veil lies over their right lobe. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, positive volition at gospel hearing, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in common and efficacious grace. Whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. In other words, when the gospel is presented, and the Holy Spirit enables them, of course, to understand it, since the unbeliever is dichotomous and does not have a human spirit, the Holy Spirit takes the gospel and makes it understandable as spiritual phenomena. And then it is transferred to the left lobe, to the nous, where it becomes gnosis gospel. That's the inhale. Then, when they believe, the Holy Spirit enables that positive volition to exhale faith in Christ, so it goes into the cardia, or the right lobe, and there it becomes epinosis. Epinosis gospel is the gospel understood by a believer. This is faith decision. And the moment that a person exhales faith in Christ, believes in Christ, then the Holy Spirit does five more things, one of which is to create a human spirit for the intake of doctrine after that point. And with the human spirit, we now have the ability to understand spiritual phenomena through the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that, by the way, is called regeneration, or being born again. Being born again is the Holy Spirit at the point of exhale of faith in Christ, creating a human spirit so that eternal life is imputed to that human spirit. So the believer is trichotomous, and he looks like this. He has a pneuma, a human spirit, so that the Holy Spirit can now teach doctrine to the human spirit when doctrine is presented. Then, when it is understood by the enabling ministry of the Holy Spirit, it then moves again to the left lobe, where it becomes gnosis doctrine. Gnosis doctrine has no benefit until it's transferred to the right lobe, and it becomes at that point epinosis doctrine. Epinosis doctrine is the basis for momentum. But please note, without the ministry of the Holy Spirit, there is no understanding of doctrine at all. And that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the divine dynasphere, in the protocol system. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no momentum in the Christian life. The enabling ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Now, when it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourselves, in salvation, that faith decision that you make is not of yourselves. The Holy Spirit enables, he sees that feeble positive volition. But under the principle of total depravity, man is not able to believe on his own. He has to have help. And when it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and even that faith is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in efficacious grace. Now, and that is positive faith decision. Now, when it comes to understanding doctrine as a believer, it is faith perception positive. Positive faith perception transfers gnosis from the left lobe to the right lobe, where it is used for both vertical and horizontal momentum in the spiritual life. So once again, faith being non-meritorious has another category. Then when doctrine is applied, under the principle of horizontal momentum. We call that faith rest. So you have faith decision, faith perception, and faith rest, all of which we will note in due time. But the Jews had a real problem. Of course, some of the Jews came through and believed in Christ, and they do in every generation. So that it says in verse 16, whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, at that point, God the Holy Spirit begins the protocol ministry. So verse 17 becomes very important. Verse 17 begins with a post-positive conjunctive particle, duh, D-E, used here as a transitional particle. That is made up of two words in the Greek, D-E. It is translated now. And with it, we have a nominative singular subject, the Greek word kurios, which looks like this, K-U-R-I-O-S. It is translated Lord, but it means more than Lord in the ordinary sense. In the Greek, it has the connotation of deity. Now the Lord, and it is a reference to the Holy Spirit. Hoda kurios to pneuma esten is the Greek here. And it refers to the Holy Spirit, and it is saying that the Holy Spirit is God. So now we note that God the Father is the author of the plan, the protocol plan. And when we say the protocol plan of God, of course, first of all, God the Father is the author. Secondly, God the Son is not only the Savior by which we enter the plan as Christians, having believed in Christ, but He is also the Shekinah glory, the purpose of the plan. And God the Holy Spirit is the silent power. As we noted this morning, by silent power, no emotion of any kind, no feeling. The power of God the Holy Spirit is infinitely greater than human feeling, which at best is entertainment and appreciation of the content of your own right lobe and frame of reference. The Holy Spirit is God. And when it says, now the Lord, it is a reference to the Holy Spirit, co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And it immediately presents the principle that the Christian way of life is a supernatural way of life. Therefore, it is impossible for us as believers to execute the Christian way of life in our own ability, in our own energy, within the framework of our own personality. No matter how good you are, you're not good enough to execute the Christian way of life. It is a supernatural way of life. And when you try to do it on your own, you merely duplicate the energy, the ability, the personality of some unbeliever who has that same ability and that same power. It cannot be accomplished. Unbelievers give up things. Unbelievers make sacrificial decisions. Unbelievers are moral. Unbelievers do all of the things that people often think and construe as the Christian way of life. But the supernatural way of life means that just as in total depravity, as unbelievers, we do not have the ability to be saved and even to make the decision on our own, so in the Christian way of life, we do not have the power or the ability to execute Project X, the protocol plan of God. Only God the Holy Spirit provides the enablement. And that means once again that just as we were saved by grace, so we are to live by grace. Introducing then the enabling power for the Christian way of life. Now the Lord. Next we have the present active indicative of the verb eimi. It looks like this. E-I-M-I. Now the Lord is. The static present tense is for a condition that eternally exists. The third person of the Trinity is God. Always has been God, always will be God. And therefore, when God the Holy Spirit comes to our rescue in the execution of the Christian way of life, He comes as God. He brings the power of God. And the power of God, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, only functions inside the protocol plan. It does not function in the cosmic system. That's why we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. That's the way we start. When we accept Christ as Savior, we enter the divine dynasphere. Entrance into the divine dynasphere means being filled with the Spirit. When we sin, we move into gate one of cosmic one, gate one of cosmic two. In cosmic one, we are grieving the Spirit. In cosmic two, we are quenching the Spirit. Therefore, it is impossible to live the Christian life as a believer living in the cosmic system of Satan. That's why living in the cosmic system of Satan, the Bible calls us carnal. There are other terms such as cosmic Christian, or terms like reversionism, or the old Baptist term, backsliding. You haven't lost your salvation in the cosmic system, but you have definitely cannot execute the Christian way of life. No matter how good you are, no matter how sweet you are, no matter how nice, no matter how moral, no matter how sacrificial, no matter how aesthetic you may appear to be, you cannot execute the Christian way of life. The name of God's policy is grace. And grace means we do not have the power or the ability either to be saved on our own or to execute the plan of God after salvation. Now the Lord is the active voice. God the Holy Spirit produces the action of the verb as the subject. God the Holy Spirit executes the protocol plan of God. The indicative mood is declarative, or a dogmatic statement of doctrine. And with this we have the predicate nominative of the noun pneuma, which looks like this in the Greek. P-N-E-U-M-A, used here for God the Holy Spirit. The word pneuma means life, breath, spirit. Sometimes the human spirit, sometimes the Holy Spirit. One or two places where it means life. Here it refers to the Holy Spirit, whose enabling ministry inside the divine dynasphere is the power for the execution of the Christian way of life. Now the Lord is the Spirit. The next phrase tells us where the Holy Spirit is located. In two places, as we noted this morning, because there are two keys to the Christian way of life. In anticipation of the next phrase, let me refresh your memory. The two keys to the Christian way of life. One is the fact that inside of your body, for the first and the only time in history, the dispensation of the church, Jesus Christ lives in your body. I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Jesus Christ lives inside of every believer as the Shekinah glory. And God the Holy Spirit also dwells inside of the body of every believer to provide living quarters for the Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory can only dwell in a sacred building. And as we will see sometime this week, the sacred building, the temple, is the Holy Spirit indwelling. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit because the temple is necessary for the indwelling of the Shekinah glory. The reasons for this we will hold off and wait until the proper passages are studied. But at the moment, here is the first key. Why does God the Holy Spirit indwell every believer? Never happened before. It is without precedent. Why does Christ indwell the believer? That too is without precedent. For the first time in human history, two members of the Trinity dwell inside of your body. And why is that? So that the Shekinah glory will have a residence. There is no sacred building made of building materials today. Now, the second place where the Holy Spirit lives is inside the protocol plan of God, inside the divine dynasphere. This is brought up in the second phrase. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and we again have the transitional use of the post-positive conjunction D-E, and of course, with it, we have an adverb, which looks like this, H-O-U, and it is translated, and where, H-O-U, who. It is the adverb of place. It refers to a place, the divine dynasphere, gate one. It refers then to the enabling ministry, the enabling power of God. God the third person, God the Holy Spirit. And this enabling ministry only occurs inside the divine dynasphere, where the believer is said to be filled with the Spirit. Now where, and this time the subject is pneuma. Before, the word pneuma was used as the predicate nominative. Now, the same word for God the Holy Spirit, P-N-E-U-M-A. And by the way, why was this word chosen to represent the third person? Because there is no emotion in air. There is no emotion in the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. No emotion. You cannot feel air. You cannot feel the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is divine power, infinitely greater than emotion. And emotion is entertainment. Thought is the key to the Christian way of life. You must know, you must understand. You cannot feel the ministry of God the Holy Spirit when you are in the divine dynasphere. It is a silent and yet the most powerful ministry in the world. And where the Spirit, and of course the next phrase is a genitive of apposition, kurios again, where the Spirit of the Lord is. The word is not found, but is the Greek syntax demands it under the principle that we have one of those places called ellipsis. And under the principle of ellipsis, the verb to be is supplied. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Holy Spirit indwells the body of every believer. That's without precedent. He indwells to provide a temple for the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, also indwelling your body. The Holy Spirit indwells the divine dynasphere as the enabling power of God for the execution of the protocol plan of God, which we also call the Christian way of life. Next, we note the power to execute the plan of God, for there is one more word in this elliptical sentence of verse 17. It is the word eleutheria. It looks like this in the Greek. E-L-E-U-T-H-E-R-I-A. Eleutheria. It's a magnificent word. It means freedom. Now, again, there is no verb, and under the principle of ellipsis, we simply put in there is. But actually, there is one word, the nominative of exclamation. When it is desired to stress a thought with great emphasis, the nominative is used without a verb. And that's what we have here, the nominative of exclamation. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, freedom. Now, as pointed out this morning, the United States of America is a client nation. And as a client nation to God, under the laws of divine establishment, it has X amount of freedom. But the freedom of the laws of divine establishment is not enough to execute the Christian way of life. We have freedom to accept Christ or reject Him. We have freedom to recognize the importance of separation of church and state. Freedom means that you have privacy, that your property, whatever it is sacred. It may be of value or it may have very little value, but property is sacred under the laws of divine establishment. It is your property, it belongs to you, and no one has a right to steal it or to take it. Your life is sacred under the principle of freedom. Your life being sacred means no one has a right to take it. And of course, murder is the criminal activity involved in taking human life. We note the two exceptions. One is when you are in battle representing your country, you have the right to take life. And the state has the right to take life in criminal activity. Now, one word, freedom, eleutheria. This is not the same freedom as you find in the laws of divine establishment. This is a higher freedom. Just as God the Holy Spirit resides in the divine dynasphere, so does freedom to live the Christian way of life, to execute it. When you are in the cosmic system, you are not free. As we noted from Galatians 5:1 this morning, you are in slavery, and you are not free to execute the Christian way of life. The believer in the cosmic system is not free to live the Christian way of life. You can only live the Christian way of life inside the protocol plan of God. Project X, because X is the unknown factor, because the average believer today has no clue as to what constitutes the Christian way of life, and the average believer today is not living the Christian way of life. So here it is, freedom. And this is freedom only inside the divine dynasphere. Now the Lord is the Spirit. A reference to the deity of the Holy Spirit and His function of enablement. Gate 1, divine dynasphere. The Holy Spirit only provides His power to you to live the Christian life inside the divine dynasphere. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Holy Spirit indwells every believer, and the Holy Spirit resides only in the divine dynasphere as the protocol plan of God. And there He provides His ministry of enablement. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, freedom, or if you prefer, there is freedom. Freedom to execute the protocol plan of God. Freedom, therefore, to function under gate 1, the filling of the Spirit. There's your power. Gate 2, basic modus operandi, including worship, guidance, prayer, understanding how you are supported in logistical grace, basic virtue, directed toward authority, enforced and genuine humility. Momentum at gate 4, that is where we have Operation Z, perception of Bible doctrine, and later on its application. At gate 5, we have vertical momentum directed toward God, the function of your royal priesthood. At gate 6, we have horizontal momentum, the function of your royal ambassadorship, directed toward man and circumstances. Gate 7, momentum testing. Gate 8, the winner's gate. This is the Christian way of life. It is a protocol system. We started to define protocol this morning. We will continue it this evening and, of course, on Tuesday. So there is freedom. Freedom to execute the protocol plan of God. The execution of the protocol plan of God is the subject of verse 18. It is the subject presented in principle only. When you learn the protocol plan of God, the veil is removed from your soul. Just as many Jews have suffered under Satan's persecution, the Holocaust, because they had a veil over their soul, so today, too many born-again believers have a veil over the soul. The veil covering their soul makes it impossible for them to live the Christian way of life because they suffer from one of the two great enemies, ignorance. You cannot execute the Christian way of life until you know what it is. Therefore, Project X, the protocol plan of God. In verse 18, we have the removal of the veil from your soul. We start out with the emphatic use of the nominative plural pronoun ego. Looks, ego, this is the vocabulary word. And it is correctly translated we. With it, we have the nominative masculine plural subject from the adjective used as a substantive, pas, P-A-S, we all. Not you all, but we all. The writer is Paul, and he is assuming that all of us are believers to whom this is addressed. But we all. We have, again, that marvelous little post-positive conjunctive particle, D-E, used in its primary sense of being an adversative conjunction. There is a contrast between this and the previous verse, but we all. Next we have the instrumental of manner, and the instrumental of manner is made up of two words, a perfect passive participle in the instrumental case. The perfect passive participle of anakalupto. And that looks like this in the Greek. That's A-N-A-K-A-L-U-P-T-O. And it is used not as a verb, often the use of the participle, but it is used as an adjective. And therefore, it is the ascriptive use of the participle. And it is correctly translated, unveiled. When you begin to learn Bible doctrine related to the protocol plan of God, your soul is unveiled. It is filled with doctrine. And we have the instrumental from the noun prosopon, which looks like this, P-R-O-S-O-P-O-N. And it means face. And it refers to your volition. But we all with an unveiled face. The unveiled face is in contrast to the unbelieving Jews of this context. We read about them beginning in verse 14. The unveiled face refers to the filling of the Holy Spirit. When is your face unveiled? When you are inside the protocol plan of God. When you're in the divine dynasphere. When you are under the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit. That's the only time your face is unveiled. Otherwise, as a believer, you are negative toward doctrine. And your face, by the illustration, by analogy, your face is veiled. In Cosmic 1, you're not against doctrine. You just don't have time for it. In Cosmic 2, you have learned some things that make you anti-doctrine as a believer. So in the cosmic system, your face is veiled. And only through the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit do you have the unveiled face. And that means under Operation Z that when you hear Bible doctrine taught, it goes to the human spirit. But it is not spiritually understood and apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When you hear doctrine taught and you are out of fellowship, in other words, in the cosmic system, you don't understand it. Why? Because you are not inside the divine dinosphere where the enabling power of the Holy Spirit functions. But under the enabling power of the Spirit, inside of the divine dinosphere, you understand the doctrine, provided, of course, you have a frame of reference and you have are consistent enough in your attendance under some pastor to get the system and to get the message. Obviously, you're not going to understand efficacious grace if you don't even understand the faith rest drill. In other words, this church is open 4 nights a week and twice on Sunday. And you know why? So you can get it bit by bit, yard by yard. You don't learn Bible doctrine by coming once in a while. Not here, not anywhere. Of course, you don't get it taught anywhere either. That answers your question, Sonny. Now, here we go. Once it's spiritual phenomena, it moves down to the left lobe. But it still is no good to you until you believe it. Now in the left lobe, it's Gnosis doctrine. You understand it. You understand it because of the enabling power of the Spirit. Once you understand it, that isn't enough. Now you say, I understand what you're saying, but I don't believe it. It stays right there. The only way it can ever become doctrine that by which you can grow, and doctrine going into the seven areas of your right lobe, the only way is positive faith perception, which says, in effect, I understand what you're saying and I believe it. And that transfers it over. We will get the mechanics of that when we get to gate four about a month from now. But here it is. We all, with an unveiled face. The unveiled face refers to the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit to make doctrine real to you in your human spirit, where doctrine becomes spiritual phenomena, and then it goes through the motions. There is no enabling ministry to the believer in the cosmic system. The believer in the cosmic system is grieving the Holy Spirit, quenching the Holy Spirit. Hence, the believer inside the divine dynasphere no longer has the veil over his face. He can understand spiritual phenomena and gain momentum in the spiritual life. The unveiled face is the believer inside the divine dynasphere, the protocol plan of God. The purpose of the protocol plan is given in the next phrase. It is given starting with a present middle participle of a verb, katoptrizo. Looks like this. That's K-A-T-O-P-T-R-I-Z-O. Katoptrizo. And katoptrizo means to look into a mirror to get a reflection, which is why most people look into a mirror. They look into a mirror to see if their hair is parted. Look into a mirror to get a reflection, to get a general idea as to whether the tie is on straight or if it's tied at all, or if they missed a little bit here and there shaving or whatever it is. And you ladies, we really appreciate your looking into the mirror because you do some of the most magnificent things. And every lady who turns out well is an artist. If she overdoes it, she may look like a turkey. But when it's just right, she is a magnificent artist. And that requires looking into the mirror. To paint on your face, you have to have a mirror. You can't stand in the dark, ladies, and put your face on. And we appreciate the fact that you do. This is not a horror story. This is a place where we can appreciate the fact that you have done such a good job. And so this means looking into a mirror to produce a reflection. The customary present tense denotes what habitually occurs when the believer lives inside the divine dynasphere and continues his momentum at gate four under Operation Z. In the middle voice, the subject acts with a view toward participating in the results of the outcome. Permissive middle here means the subject, the believer inside the divine dynasphere, seeks to secure the results of the action in his own interest, spiritual momentum, advance to maturity, capacity for happiness and blessing. The six paragraphs of Super Grace Blessing All of these things are a part of the momentum picture. The participle is circumstantial. Looking into a mirror to produce a reflection. But here's the strange thing. The mirror here is the Word of God. It's an analogy. And we are looking into the Word of God, not to see what we are, that comes out, by the way, but to see the Shekinah glory. Here is where the two parts, the two keys of the Christian way of life come together. We look into the mirror of the Word of God to see the Shekinah glory. That's why gate 4, which is perception of doctrine, operation Z, is followed by gate 5. For the first objective of perception of doctrine is vertical momentum, to see Christ, to see God, occupation with the person of Jesus Christ. And that is the meaning of the middle voice, looking into a mirror to produce a reflection. Next, we have the accusative singular direct object of the participle. And the direct object is doxa, D-O-X-Z-A. Glory is the meaning of the word. Namely, the glory. And glory refers to the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ. And with it, the possessive genitive of kurios. Kurios is used for all three members of the Trinity. Here it is used for our Lord Jesus Christ. Namely, the glory of the Lord. In other words, occupation with the Shekinah glory at gate 5. The action of this present participle then is coterminous with the action of the main verb, and the main verb comes up next. And, of course, the main verb is the present passive indicative of the verb metamorpho, where we get metamorphosis. Looks like this in the Greek. That's M-E-T-A-M-O-R-P-H-O-O, metamorpho, and it means to transform. Are being transformed. So we look into the mirror to get a reflection, namely the glory of the Lord, Jesus Christ. And we are being transformed by that. This is a pictorial present tense. It conveys to the mind a picture of the events and the process of occurrence inside the divine dynasphere, the protocol plan of God. The passive voice, the believer inside the divine dynasphere receives the action of the verb, and this is the indicative mood, indicating the main verb, and being coterminous with the participle, also a dogmatic statement of doctrine. And with this, the accusative singular direct object, and we have, first of all, the attributive use of the intensive pronoun autos. For once, autos is not used as a personal pronoun. It is used here as an intensive pronoun, translated the same, transformed into the same. And then the noun icon, which looks like this, E-I-K-O-N, and it means image, transformed into the same image. It's a reference to the image of Jesus Christ when the Shekinah glory came to the earth in the first advent. Jesus Christ is the God-man, undiminished deity, and true humanity in one person. At the point of his birth, the first Christmas present given to our Lord's humanity was the prototype divine dynasphere. And the humanity of Christ resided inside of that divine dynasphere, that prototype, all of the way to the cross. And at the cross, he never got out once. Therefore, at the cross, he was impeccable and qualified to be judged for our sins. On the cross, he received the judgment of our sins as the last Adam. He was perfect because of his life in the protocol, in the prototype divine dynasphere. And now he has given to the church age believer as royal family the operational type divine dynasphere. And so we have, are being transformed into the same image. Jesus Christ in his humanity lived inside the prototype. Now we have the explanation. The explanation is given in two prepositional phrases. The first one is apo plus the ablative. The ablative of source, A-P-O, plus the ablative of source of doxa again, D-O-X-Z-A. Apo plus doxa, and it means from glory. It's a reference to our Lord Jesus Christ as the Shekinah glory, residing in the prototype divine dynasphere during His first advent. And you will note that the humanity of Christ resides in the prototype. Then we have the second prepositional phrase, eis plus doxa. This time, it's eis, E-I-S, plus the accusative of doxa. And it is correctly translated to glory, and it's a reference to the believer in the church age only, living inside the divine dynasphere, under the enablement of God the Holy Spirit, producing the glory, glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And the source of this power is given in the closing phrase. We actually have an attic adverb. The attic adverb looks like this. This is not koine, kathaper, K-A-T-H-A-P-E-R. That's classical Greek. That is not the koine Greek of the New Testament. And it is a word translated as it were. And then once more, we have the preposition apo plus the ablative of source. A-P-O. Only this time, instead, the object is pneuma. The ablative of pneuma. And that's from the Spirit. And then the genitive case, the descriptive genitive of kurios. As it were, from the Spirit of the Lord. Now, twice we've had the ablative here, and this time it's ablative of means. It is not the means, of course, is usually expressed in the instrumental case. But here, when the expression of means is accompanied by the implication of source, then, of course, we have the ablative case. The Holy Spirit is the source of power or enablement in the Christian way of life. The Christian way of life is a supernatural way of life and demands a supernatural means of execution. The enabling power of the Holy Spirit provides the means of producing the reflected glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Shekinah glory. The reflected and transient glory of Moses came from the law. And therefore, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, his face would shine from hearing the law. And he had to put a veil over his face so the people could not see it until the glory faded out. That is a reflected and transient glory. And that's why Moses had a veil over his face. Not why the Jews, they of course, that was unbelief. But the transparent and reflected glory of the believer comes from life in the divine dynasphere, the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. It is an entirely different situation. Now let's note the corrected translation. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, a reference to the deity of the Holy Spirit and His function of enablement at gate one of the divine dynasphere. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is. Where is the Spirit of the Lord? Indwelling every believer to provide a temple for the Shekinah glory. At the same time, inside of the divine dynasphere to provide enabling power to execute the Christian way of life. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, freedom. That is, not the freedom we enjoy living in these United States, but freedom to execute the protocol plan of God inside the divine dynasphere. Verse 18, but we all with an unveiled face. The unveiled face refers to the believer living in the divine dynasphere, not to the cosmic believer. And, of course, the unveiled face is the enabling ministry of the Holy Spirit in the divine dynasphere. But we all with an unveiled face, looking into a mirror to produce a reflection. Not our reflection, because the mirror is the Word of God and produces the reflection of Jesus Christ as the Shekinah glory. namely the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image, the image of Jesus Christ as the Shekinah glory, living in the prototype divine dynasphere during the first advent. From glory, reference to our Lord Jesus Christ as the Shekinah glory inside the prototype divine dynasphere, to glory, referring to the positive believer living in the operational type divine dynasphere under the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit. As it were, from the Spirit of the Lord, the enabling power of the Holy Spirit to execute the protocol plan of God. Now, that brings us right back to square one. God has a plan for your life. And that plan is summarized in one word, protocol. Protocol is a rigid, long-established code and procedure, prescribing complete deference to superior rank, followed by strict adherence to due order of precedence, coupled with precisely correct procedure. Then the protocol is a rigid, long-established code and procedure. The code is God's game plan for the church age, the system God has devised to make the believer a winner, a power system. The code defines the Christian way of life. The procedure is modus operandi of the believer living in the divine dynasphere, but living there under the enabling power of the Spirit, for only the power of God the Holy Spirit can execute the Christian way of life. The rigidity of the code is the fact that God has only one way of doing a thing, and that is the right way. Under God's protocol system, the end never justifies the means. Both the means and the end must comply with divine standards of grace. Therefore, a wrong thing done in a wrong way is wrong. A right thing done in a wrong way is wrong. A wrong thing done in a right way is wrong. A right thing must be done in a right way to be right by God's protocol standards. The protocol system of God is structured into a plan called the divine dynasphere, a power system composed of eight gates. And for the next few months, we will be studying in detail Project X, the protocol plan of God for your life. Your great enemy is ignorance, and until you understand it, until you comprehend it, you cannot possibly live the Christian way of life. Once you understand it, it's up to you. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, we dedicate the closing moments of our study this evening to those of you who are here without Christ, without hope, and without eternal life. We want you to know that Jesus Christ had you personally in mind when He went to the cross. And every sin you have ever committed, past, present, or future, has been imputed to Him and judged. That means that right where you sit right now, you can have eternal life. You can have eternal life by simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. You can have eternal life right now, right where you sit. Eternal life is yours for the believing, yours for the taking. If you want eternal life, you can have it. Your head is bowed, your eyes are closed. You have privacy. Privacy is necessary for freedom of decision. In the privacy of your soul, knowing that Jesus Christ was your Savior, took your place, was judged in your place, bore your sins in His own body on the tree, and was judged for every one of them, you can have eternal life right now. In the privacy of your soul, being inaudible, of course, you can tell God the Father that you are believing in Jesus Christ. In thought only, express those ideas that you are believing in Jesus Christ, that you are taking Him as your personal Savior, that you are trusting in Him. And that's the moment of eternal life for you. It's your opportunity, your option, to believe in Christ, eternal life, to reject Him, eternal condemnation. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of studying today, the beginning of this great subject. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us and motivate us to be consistent so that we can understand and therefore know what our options are and what the decisions within options happen to be. We pray now that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us. And now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.